Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
You're listening to the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. They're here to make you come on a journey with them as they indulge you in all of your naughtiest thoughts while navigating sex with nonchalance and a whole lot of Crisco, of course.
All right, up next, to celebrate Women's History Month, we have another strong-ass woman as our special guest tonight. She's a New York-based burlesque performer, producer, and creator of Rabbit Hole, a sex-positive production company putting on amazing events such as Tasselmania. She's a fierce feminist known for her social politics, activism, and of course, her amazing titties. You may have also seen her around town performing as drag king Buster Balls. She's the beauty and the beast of burlesque. Welcome to the show, Bunny Buxom.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being on. You're amazing, and we're so excited to have you.
Oh my God, likewise. Thank you so much.
So I want to just get right into it. We've never had a burlesque dancer on, a burlesque performer on our show before, and we have so many questions for you just right off the bat regarding that, so let's get going.
Alrighty.
Hell yeah. So my first question is, how did you receive and or come up with the name The Beauty and the Beast of Burlesque?
Well, so taglines are weird in the burlesque industry. I don't know. I feel like you can't just like give yourself your own tagline, because then it's, I don't know, like we already name ourselves, right? So I wanted to like come about it organically, and I used pull quotes from like different social media things and like from articles, and nothing was really like clicking. But I feel like I kind of cheated because my partner gave me my tagline. So,
oh, nice. Well, who better to give you your tagline than somebody that knows you really well?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he said it was like it makes sense though, because like, you know, obviously the beauty of like, you know, physical looks, and then the beast, yes. Like I have this fierce energy on stage, and then it kind of like denotes that fairy tale, obviously, like Beauty and the Beast, you know.
Oh yes, you are Beauty, yes. And the Beast, and all of
thank
the best
you.
Parts of it combined.
Thank yum. You so much. And I immediately was like, oh, that's perfect, because it's got that like, you know, double entendre kind of thing, and then the, you know, the Disney recall, which I'm like, oh, was like totally obsessed with all things like that. So it was just perfect.
Yeah.
It really just fit. And it was pretty cosmic timing, because he started calling me that, or I guess was like, yo, this should be your tagline, right before like the biggest performance of my career, which was at the Burlesque Hall of Fame in Las Vegas.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I was able to just like say that to the host and be like, hey, this is my tagline, could you just like intro me like this? And it's cool, because in the video, you know, the host says it before my name, and everyone responds as if they already know who's coming up. So I was like, oh, this is a very fitting tagline, like this works.
Nice.
This works.
Oh, well done.
Yeah,
that's awesome. No, that's like a great tagline story. I mean, I came up with mine because, you know, I was like, well, I'm a whore, so that works. So, but your story's way cooler.
Yours is so fitting too, though. I love it. I love it.
It just stuck. So I was like, fuck it, let's do this.
Right? I mean, you just gotta like go with what's true, right?
Absolutely, exactly. And I love Beauty and the Beast, so I mark out for that name every time I see it come up. I'm like, oh, I love that so much. So
thank you.
So that's the tagline. Now I'm curious where the name itself, the Bunny Buxom, like originated from.
Wait, you weren't born with that name?
You weren't born with that name? No, that's a good question. Sorry, I should have been asked that first. Is that your legal name?
Oh my God, I wish it was my legal name. That'd be cool. But I picked my own name, and I remember like coming up with it, sitting in class in undergrad, in college, and nice. Just like all of a sudden in like a silent room being like, oh my God, you know, and like actually making a noise. My mom was a Playboy bunny. So,
oh, wow.
Very nice.
So it's like an homage to her. And then Buxom, I was just like, I don't know, man. I like alliteration and lean into the curves, right? Just,
Hell yeah.
Why not? Why not?
That's amazing. Well, that actually brings up my next question, which is what got you into this? I mean, as if your mom, I didn't know that your mother was a Playboy bunny. That's amazing. But was she the one that got you into this? Was there something that clicked in you as an adult? And also, you know, when did you become comfortable with your body? Because obviously as a burlesque performer, there's a whole level of comfort you have to, you know,
totally.
Be very self-aware of and whatnot. So I'm very interested to know, like, sort of what were your first steps?
Well, I was lucky enough to have a mom who was always very like pro body positive, pro sex positive, like made sure we had a sense of autonomy and were comfortable in our own skin and were comfortable exploring sexuality. Like she was, I mean, the only mom I've ever known, but seriously the best. Like I feel like I am the person I am because of how she, you know, guided me and my siblings to like be comfortable with ourselves. So again, I feel like I already had a leg up in that regard. She didn't necessarily push me to start performing, but she was incredibly supportive when I told her that I wanted to pursue it. I like caught the opening credits or the first couple minutes of the movie Striptease when I was younger. like Demi Moore and that like.
Yeah, I feel like we all caught those few minutes. Hell yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to do it. But I just don't think I have what it takes to be a strip club stripper. So I was like, let me do this, you know, performance arty kind of route of it instead. I got really into pinup culture in college, which led me to Dita Von Teese, which led me to burlesque. And then I was like, this is a thing? Like, I could, like, dance on stage for 4 minutes, end up almost naked and get paid for it. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So yeah, it was more like I don't know. I kind of just found it. I found it, and then I was lucky enough to be supported. And as far as being comfortable in my own skin, part of my definition of body positivity is that sometimes you're not gonna like yourself, and that's okay. Like it's more about being comfortable day to day and like appreciating what your body can do, even when you're annoyed with how that might feel for you or what that might look like in the mirror. Like I got bad body days where I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go on stage. I don't want to like show myself off. But that all changes when I get on stage and then I feel confident because I'm like, for me, it's a lot of the audience reaction. When people come up to me after I perform and say, you know, you made me feel comfortable with my belly because I look like you and you're comfortable with your belly. I'm like, that makes me feel fucking awesome.
That is so amazing.
Yeah, that makes me feel like a superhero.
You literally cross off all of my next questions, which is basically how do you become more comfortable with yourself and how do you battle stage fright? And, you know, you answered that. And that's such a beautiful thing. And I think it's so interesting that your mom didn't get you into this. Your mom got you into being body positive.
Yeah.
And you found this as an adult on your own path. I think that's really awesome and interesting.
Yeah, thank
you. Like you found your own way into your, you know, sex positivity and body positivity. And that's just such a beautiful thing. So props to you and your mom for
thank
that.
Thank you.
And I have to say that was so beautifully stated, the way you worded it. I can't wait to like listen to this again and do the edit on it because it was like so
I mean, gorgeous. And I am a cornball and I watch World of Dance and I love J-Lo. I have the goosies head to toe right now.
Oh my goodness.
No, I seriously have goosebumps because I have a serious problem with my own body image and getting naked in general. And I watch you all the time and your videos and I'm like, holy shit. I cannot wait to be at that level of comfort. Like you're an amazing inspiration to so many women.
Thank you so much. But that's amazing coming from you because I feel the same about you. Like, you seem so comfortable in your skin and your body. And, like, I feel like I'm in awe of what you do, you know? So it's...
Oh, well, like, I'll show you my pussy lips any day, girl, but I'm not going to show you my belly. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah.
That's, like, the difference is, like, you know, you're all-encompassing, you know, comfort is just really, it's awesome to see. And I love that so much. So
thank you. I feel like it's also like kind of a statement on how we curate our public persona and our social media. Cause like,
right.
Like you can't tell when I have bad body days because my like remedy is to post like a boob selfie and be like,
okay. Well, exactly. And that's the thing is there's plenty of parts of myself that I do love and there's plenty of parts that I'm shy about still, but seeing other people be so open about their bodies, especially women, obviously, that just, it's so inspirational. It helps me put on that, you know, fishnet bodysuit and snap a photo and it's like, yeah, maybe it's a little adjusted and yeah, you know, maybe it's in Valencia, whatever, but I'm gonna feel good today, so fuck off, you know.
Yeah, and like that's totally fine. Why not use a filter? Like fuck it, we can curate our own images. That's like, I think the point of like what like women in, I don't necessarily consider burlesque sex work, but like this overarching, like super big umbrella of sex work, I guess, like we are curating our own business. Like we're curating our own image. We like are in, like are in control of, we're independent contractors and our body is our mechanism, you know?
Hell yeah. So, and they say, don't let anybody else write your own, like your narrative, right?
Yeah.
Like, so curating is writing your narrative.
For sure. For sure. And I think it's really important that like, you know, like fucking use Facetune. Who gives a shit?
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if somebody has like the, my opinion is if somebody is like, you know, in the presence of you in real life and they see that you look different, like they're lucky enough to be in the presence of you.
Yeah.
Because you're a beautiful woman. So fuck the fuck up. You know?
Right? Like
who cares if my picture's so bad, you know?
Yeah. And it like will be like, I've had people kind of comment on my height a lot. They're like, oh, you're shorter than I thought. And I'm like, that's weird because I feel like I never really post pictures where I'm like to scale, you know, like
to scale. You put a penny next to yourself.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm this many pennies tall.
Like, people actually say all the time they think I'm shorter, and then in real life I'm tall, and they get intimidated, so they don't come up to me and say hi. It's very interesting.
It's so interesting. It's so weird how that happens. But I'm kind of like, that should just be a credit to our like self photography skills, like
know. Well, and I would say as like a bystander, like your personalities are larger than life. Like that's probably like, you know, that should stick out when people meet you too. Like you shouldn't be actually even thinking about online. Once you know you meet amazing people in person, like who's sitting there thinking you don't look like your online presence? Shut the fuck up. That is so lame.
Yeah, and by the way, you owe me $49.99 for being in the same room as me. So
yeah, right.
So let's get back to some of this my voice cracked. Some of these burlesque questions. I want to know what your brand, so you explained that you have your own brand of sex appeal and humor. Mm-hmm. I want to know what that means to you and what that looks like.
That looks like, for me, it like boils down to this like one move that I have basically put in a bunch of my acts since doing it. I shake my belly on stage and I do that like with musicality and with
yes you do, you know? It looks amazing. Oh my god, I love your videos.
Thank
sorry
you.
I keep interrupting you to tell you I love you.
No, oh my god, please. I love it so much. I can't even, I'm sitting here blushing. It's fine.
Yay, that was my goal.
Yay. So. But with musicality, like there's so much you could do to get like your body to tell the story, so just like doing things in time with like the song basically. Really fancy word for like a very simple concept, but I like have this one act in particular where I shake my boobs and then I shake my belly and then I shake my butt, and it's all like, you know, done with my hand gyration pretty much. And like, it's basically me being like, well, if this is sexy and that's sexy, then this must be sexy too, right? We're celebrating things that move around and bounce and jiggle, like there you go.
Fuck,
you know,
yes.
And when you do it to music, sometimes it's like, you know, what the general vibe of the song is. Like it is funny, but it's still sexy. So that's something that I've taken from that one act, which when I made it, I had a I had a partner who was like, you should take that move out. And I was like, you should no longer be my partner.
Absolutely.
Do you use different songs for the act, or is it usually like you have a go-to for it?
The way that burlesque works is like, generally we have a song with a specific costume with like choreographed moves. So like an act is like its own song, its own costume, and its own like, you know, 4 minutes on stage. And then another act is like a different song, a different costume. So that thing that I just described is one particular act, but that move of just like bouncing my belly on stage has been taken to a bunch of different acts because it got a great response. And I realized like, that's something I don't really think I've seen another performer do on stage.
Nice.
Like maybe like,
so it's like your signature. It's like having a signature wrestling move. It's like, I have this normal move set and I do yada yada to different things, but this is my one move I always try to incorporate.
Yes. Yes.
Hell yeah.
And if not like as explicitly, like even the subtlety of it works. Like I performed, on the Saturday before St. Patrick's Day, and I hadn't been on stage in a while. Like, it'd been like a month and a half. And towards the end of it, I was like, I think I'm just gonna try these new couple things. And like, you know, took the bra off, hit your boob, bounce it in time to the music, and then just real slowly do it with the other hand. And like, it's crazy what facial expressions and what like the tone of the music can do to change the feel of the song. So, mm-hmm. That one is more sexy, and doing it in that song and that musical style was much more of like a, you know, a fuck you move than the one previously described, which is like a, this is great, right? Woohoo, tongue in cheek, all right, showbiz, like, you know.
So it was a different level of like sassiness to that. Was that the video that you posted where your pasty ended up falling off and you had to cut it? Oh, that was, my God. I've probably watched, so I don't know how many views you have, but whatever it is, I'm at least like 1,000 of those views. I watched that shit on loop for like 20, because it was like, I've seen you do that, you know, I've seen your performances before, but there was something specific about your sass in that one that like really, it really like spoke to me. And I was, oh my God, I was eating it up and watching it over and over again. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Cause that's what I feel like I'm trying to boil it down to say, like, that particular performance felt so much more like fuck you than some of my other ones, which are very engaging, you know. And it's not necessarily like a fuck you to the audience. The audience is great. I'm without them, there's no me, you know. But it's but I don't know, that vibe that day just like was something that I definitely want to try to emulate far more on stage. So
I loved it. I felt like it was a fuck you to anybody who wasn't there in support of, right? anybody who side-eyed or wasn't watching or was on their phone, you know, anybody who wasn't showing you the respect and love that you deserve. It was like that's yes. How I read it when I watched it. I was like, yeah, you were like, no, love me. Fuck you if you don't. And I loved it.
Yes. So, oh my God. Thank you.
I'll stop overanalyzing your own stuff now. I'm like, this is how I thought about it.
No, that's important to me though. Cause like, I know how I think of it, but it's just like everything else, like intentions, who the fuck knows? So.
Right. Exactly.
Validation always feels good.
Exactly.
It does. You could compliment me like all the time and I'll like pretty much always be into it. So
great. We could have you on like once a month and just tell you how amazing you are.
Absolutely.
So out of all the different genres that you sort of touched upon a little bit, but you definitely have a ton of genres that you do. You have horror and neo and pop culture. What's your favorite to perform versus watch? So, you know, I'm sure you definitely watch other performances and performers. So what do you prefer to perform versus actually watch?
I feel like I'm a big weirdo creep. So I love doing like my horror based numbers. Cause they're fun and like that gross out spooky factor. But I think
what makes them horror, can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, mostly they get booked around Halloween time.
Nice.
But I have an act where like I'm a spider, like a giant spider. So my costume is like these 8 legs that like,
oh my God, waist. I'm terrified of spiders.
Yeah, and that one in particular, every time I do it, there's always like at least one person who happens to be sitting in the front that's like, nope, nope, nope. Yeah, like,
I'm sorry to say that might be me.
That's okay.
Fucking love that's... spiders so much, you can crawl all up on me.
Yeah, but see me too, because I'm like a big weirdo creep. So I'm like, I love that, like the creepy crawlies. And you know, like the musical tone of it is that, let's see, that song is actually, it's a Danny Elfman song. I can't think of the name at the moment, but like the tone is kind of like,
Before Christmas.
it's not that one, but it's a, oh. I don't know. There's a Danny Elfman soundtrack and it's a movie with, I think a young Kirsten Dunst, and it's kind of like Little Red Riding Hood. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I kind of know what you're talking about. I'd like to
really I'll have to listen to it because that's going to be spooky, I'm sure.
Yeah, my partner's going to hear this podcast and be like, I can't believe you forgot the name.
it's only when you're being recorded that you forget words and names, so I totally understand.
Totally. So that's one horror act I do. I have another one where I'm like a an animated marionette doll. Like, you know, all the moves are very like staccato and like,
nice.
You know, doll-like. So I really like doing those, but I think I tend to produce neo-burlesque shows, like, you know, pop culture-based ones, because it's, there's like always fandoms that are going to come out to support, like a Spice Girl show or like a Nickelodeon theme show. And like,
yeah,
like okay, I'm a 90s kid. I'm like all about, all about that. So it's, that's fun for me to produce. And it's fun for me to like delve into that deep nostalgia and then to have it be reciprocated by the audience. So I definitely like producing that kind of stuff, but I think I like performing like more classic burlesque more, which is the like pretty showgirl costumes that aren't necessarily a reference piece. But nice. It always really just boils down to like who the performer I'm watching is or who the performers I'm in the show with are. Like, I love doing the Pink Room. Francine the Lucid Dream does like a David Lynch themed, like it's basically a burlesque collective at this point. But she's got all these shows that are Twin Peaks or Fire Walk With Me or Blue Velvet. Like, and
that's so cool.
It's insane. but those shows are always so fun to do because we're all very passionate about the material that we're doing, as is the audience. And working together, we all know each other, we all get along. It's fun to be backstage with those folks, you know?
Nice. Well, listen, I have, I'm so afraid of the idea of ever being on stage, even remotely naked, but if you ever do a Rocco's Modern Life thing, I will totally,
stop.
Sorry for that alarm that just went off. I will totally 100% get over my fear and I will do whatever you want.
I actually have been thinking, I'm like, you know, after Tasmania, I should try to do Nickelodeon again. And
oh my God.
So
yes,
I might take you up on that.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, you'd have to probably talk me through 8 anxiety attacks, but we, you know, we'll work on it. It's fine.
We'll figure it out.
So, I have a question that's more personal, mm-hmm. which is you mentioned having a partner, but, does this field of work or has it ever affected your personal life? It sounds like it doesn't right now, but has it ever in the past gotten in the way of your personal life because of, you know, some level of discomfort? On their end or on your end, I guess.
Yeah. For me, no. I've been lucky enough to, when I started performing at a super supportive partner, our relationship ended, like, shortly after I started performing, but it wasn't because of burlesque. Like, he was really into, you know, me doing something that I wanted to do that made me happy. And, I've never experienced that. And my partner now, we've been together for a little over 5 years, and Shape of the Dark Lord, he's my co-producer for Tasmania, and he's a nerdcore rapper, and he used to host and produce burlesque shows as well, so he's kind of in the realm, and maybe yes. That makes it easier, that, like, you don't have to really explain the ins and outs of, like, the industry to someone when you start dating them.
Right.
Yeah, I've never had that trouble, but I definitely have heard other performers talk about, like, oh, I think I'm going to quit doing burlesque because so-and-so doesn't like it. And I'm like, dump it. Like,
yeah.
Like, no, yeah. Do what you want to do. Don't let someone dictate that to you. If someone's stopping you from doing something that makes you happy, not the person for you.
Absolutely, 100%.
So you can't imagine any scenario with like a partner if they ask you to stop where like you would consider it?
No. Like, if this is something I started doing for me to feel like, you know, like control and autonomy and to like explore my own personhood and sexuality and all these different things that like are really important and integral to who I am as a person. And if someone ever like was like, hey, don't do that anymore, I'd be like, thank you, next.
Yeah. Well, that means that they're asking you to be somebody that you're not, and you have been this person forever, so they can't ask you to change now. You know, you didn't wake up yesterday and decide to do burlesque. So.
Yeah. This is like a totally part of who I am. And I think it's important in all fields of work to support you, the people you're with, and to be supportive and to be supported. Like, it's, yeah, I can't imagine being like asking someone to stop doing something. That's just not my jam.
Yeah,
that's crazy. People are wild to do that.
Yeah, right.
So did you start, well, it sounds like you started to perform before you did any kind of producing.
Yeah.
When did you start producing, and what, you know, what made you decide to do that? And, you know, which do you like more? Do you have a preference, or is it both something that you enjoy doing equally?
Oh God. I started performing and, probably about a year into my performance career, another producer took me under his wing and kind of started showing me like the ropes and teaching me like how to curate set lists and how to, you know, do like make music playlists and different sorts of programs. Like, he really just kind of showed me the basics. And I was associate producing one of his shows for a long time. And I kind of got like a little like stir crazy, being like, yeah, I really love this show that we do, but it's really your show. Like, I want to have the control. I want to make the decisions. I want to get the credit, you know?
Nice. So yeah. And who wants to work for a man, you know?
Yeah, right. So I just started doing it my own. I was like, yeah, I can make my own decisions and like run things my own way, you know? And I'm appreciative of him for sure, but I'm glad that I kind of broke off and started doing my own thing, because I feel like I've grown a lot, both as a performer, producer, and person, like in the past couple of years that I've been producing. So I love performing, but I don't like any of the other of the other things associated with it. Like, I don't really like rehearsing, and I don't really like costuming, and I sure as fuck don't like hustling for gigs. Like, it's just, it's like a lot. So
great.
So I think like I like performing in my own shows.
Nice.
Like, that's ideal.
Understood.
But it's also difficult to like, you know, just focus on your one performance, like the one thing that you're supposed to do in the show when it's your show and you're trying to make sure everything else is running.
So, right, of course. That must be stressful.
Yeah. I used to produce a lot more, and now it's just like down to Tassamania, which we're going to try to do a couple of times this year. And then like some other big productions, but I used to have like a couple like more low-key or monthly shows, and it's tiring, and it's easier to just like walk on someone else's stage and do your thing and then leave, but it's hard to pick between them. I think,
well, it sounds like you'll be doing both for a long time, you know.
I hope so.
Hell yeah. Well, I hope you, whatever, I mean, whatever you want, of course. Don't stop performing. So you've been all over the country and actually outside of the country to perform, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about some of your experiences on the road? Do you have any like crazy stories, any crazy fan stories, and like any favorite places to perform because of the audiences and things like that?
Or any places you had fun sex while you were on.
Oh, right. We're supposed to talk about sex sometimes. I'm sorry. Right. Sex. Do you like sex and have it sometimes?
I love it. Well, no, I have it all the time.
We're hoping that was true. But like, I want to know that too.
Well, yeah. Right.
I don't think I've ever actually like had sex on the road with someone. Now that I'm thinking about it, like, I've never been asked that question, and now I'm like, oh man, I don't think I've done that. But let's see. I'm trying to think, like, I've always had really generous experiences with the performers who housed me when I was en route, or and the producers who, you know, were gracious enough to invite me to their stages. Like, I just have had really good experiences, like, outside of New York. Like, yeah, I don't know. No one's ever, like, never has, like, any kind of bad issues. There was just one time.
Have you ever had any bad experiences inside of New York?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I know New York can be, like, kind of rough on people.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want
to.
It's
totally like it's this huge part of like my life at this moment. But I'm currently involved in a lawsuit.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But I'm currently being sued for defamation, and let me like quote the public complaint. I'm being accused of calling out my alleged sexual assault. Things change and you got to keep yourself feeling safe, whatever that means to you. So
absolutely.
Yeah, but I'll like send you guys the link to my GoFundMe for more information.
Absolutely. And you know what, I'm sorry you're going through this right now. I'm sorry that you had to go through something and then now you're being fucking sued for said thing. However, whatever we can do to help you, we will hustle our asses to do so. So guys,
I appreciate that.
Look out, like anybody listening to this, make sure you follow us on anywhere just to make sure that you are staying up to date on whatever it is that we need from you to help out. Okay.
Yeah. It's it's a link in the bio of my Instagram too. It's like the GoFundMe. And that's got like all the information that I'm legally allowed to share in it. So yeah, everything's worded very carefully. My lawyer is like on that shit. So, you know, like everything is basically quoting the public complaint of what happened, but or like how this lawsuit occurred is what I mean.
Sure.
Well, we will do whatever we can to take care of you. I promise.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, no one should have to go through this, and it's bullshit that I have multiple friends dealing with this kind of thing right now. So,
well,
I mean, another thing that isn't, you know, the brightest topic to bring up there is that I see you say you work on feminist issues surrounding the burlesque community. Obviously, this is one of them, but I'm sure there are more.
Yeah.
How does Rabbit Hole Productions specifically help to work on these within the community?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the lawsuit, that's very personal to me. And as a result, like, I try to maintain a completely, like, safe space. I want the performers I book to be able to come to me at any moment and be like, this isn't cool, or this audience person member made me feel X, Y, Z, and, like, handle it, you know? And, like I think it's way more important to respect performers, like personal safety over profit. So like that's number one when I'm like producing shows, is like, yeah, if someone in the audience is behaving inappropriately, like I will definitely ask them to leave. And if they're like, well, give me my money back, I'll be like, okay, just get out.
Right.
<You know? laughs> So that's I think number one. Rabbit Hole is also like built on the foundation of being the change you wish to see. And I really just noticed that so many shows are advertised as these like very generically pretty skinny white women, and mm-hmm. I'm a white woman, but I'm not that skinny. I'm not like, you know, plus size, like a bigger body, but I think it's important to like I don't, if I'm the fattest person in your show, you're doing your show wrong, you know, like there's got to be more body diversity than that. So Rabbit Hole is also committed to like having a variety of body shapes and sizes, a variety of different performers' ethnicities and backgrounds and creeds and colors and sexualities. And like, there's a lot of conversations about how women of color, specifically in burlesque, like aren't getting the same opportunities as white performers. And I think it's really important to give them said opportunities. So making sure that your cast is diverse is also like a huge like staple of Rabbit Hole shows.
That's amazing.
That's so awesome.
So it sounds like the place to go.
Yeah, thanks. And it's with House of Media in particular, it's like it was a little bit harder to cast with diversity the first time around, because basically Schaefer and I were like, yo, we don't know if this is gonna work. like at all, but like, do you want to just like come and do a whole bunch of stuff for like not a ton of money because we're trying to figure it out? I mean, now it's like, now we know what we're doing, now we know it works, and now we're able to like, you know, be like, this is a system and everything's cool, it's gonna work out. But the nice. First time it was a little difficult for to get people to sign on, and I'm really happy that we had performers in the first Tasmania who are now going to be in the third one. Like, that feels good to be like, oh my God, you stuck with us. Thank you.
Okay. So I have to admit, I'm somewhat of a novice in these realms, and Tasmania sounds super exciting, but I'm
Aaron doesn't know a lot about wrestling, I just don't. In general.
That's okay.
I'm learning more. I mean, I can tell you what a heel is now.
Yes.
I couldn't have before, so I'm really excited. But this stuff, you know, being a queer dude, like, all the themes around these things sound really exciting. So, like, I mean, educate me. I'm, like, dying to know more about this, yes. like, actual thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so what is Tasmania?
So Tasmania is a recurring episodic like choose your own adventure burlesque wrestling show where it's
oh my god.
It's a lot of
choose your own adventure is an amazing way of putting it.
I think I just got hurt and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to.
I mean, like, honestly, I get it. It's cool. But like there's like, so it's everything about wrestling with the characters and the entrance music and the promos and the flair and the ring announcer and like all of that like staple of wrestling. But instead of the actual wrestling, it's two performers stripping to the same song at the same time. And the choose your own adventure comes in because the winner of the match, and it's been like a tournament level, like two people, and then it goes on two people and two people, and then it goes on to one person, and then there's a final winner. It's decided by the audience by round of applause, and we use like a little applause meter on stage. So the audience really like has a say in like who goes home with the title and like what's happening in the show, because it like moves on the storyline. And being a being like an episodic show, there are things that happened in Tasmania 2 that are affecting what's going on in Tasmania 3.
Oh my god, that sounds so cool.
It's really cool. It's I'm like this, like, I remember the first Tasmania, like, I think two acts into the show, or I guess two matches, so we were calling them into the show. Schaefer and I were like, what is happening? This shouldn't have worked. Why is this working?
It's like a burlesque off.
It's like a burlesque off, yeah. It's like a burlesque off, but it's dressed up as wrestling. But to be fair,
that's fucking cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's why my ass is coming with a sign.
Yes. Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Yes.
I don't get to do that anymore anywhere else without getting kicked out. So I'm definitely coming to Tasmania. Yeah,
like, side note though, like, I gotta say that I'm pretty stoked that like the fuck me fin girl or face fuck me fin girl and the Sheamus's daddy girl are gonna like be buddies. Like, that's pretty dope.
That's oh hell awesome. Yeah. Oh, the Sheamus's daddy girl, I was like, oh my god, this is so good. I was just like, what? That's so good.
I know, like, I saw the face fuck me fin and I was like, I mean, everyone's thinking it, like like, yeah.
It accidentally, like, nobody was supposed to see that. It just happened. Whatever.
Amazing.
Three years and a whole career later.
Yeah, right? I mean,
I'm
going to
ask permission ahead of time to sexualize all the women, but
yeah,
it's happening.
We're like, in this context, we're okay with it. Like, it's because we're like allowing you to sexualize us. We're coming on stage and we're like, you know, engaging you in a manner that's like flirtatious and sexual. And in this setting, it's like, we're on stage, you paid to be here, we want you to cheer us on, we want you to look at us, you know. And like, that's like the difference between like that's like a consent issue, you know. Like, in this context, the agreement we're making as performer and audience is that you can interact with us vocally, like, in a flirtatious way, and like,
right.
Well, and thank you for saying that, because we're always trying to highlight that line for people, because you know, doing sex work ourselves, it's like, you need to understand that there's an invitation for this sometimes, and sometimes rest of the time there's not.
if you compare it to regular wrestling, a person like me that gets into the ring as a manager, mm-hmm. you're allowed to sexualize because I've sexualized myself.
Yes.
Whereas if another woman gets into the ring as just a simply athletic wrestler with a regular, you know, non-sexual gimmick, then you probably shouldn't talk about their snatch or something like that, right?
Exactly. It's the same idea. Like, you let the person tell you where their line is, and as a public performer, we'll tell you what we want you to do when we're on stage.
Exactly.
And whether you realize it or not, there's rules and there's things that we're telling you to do. And like even the go-go set, which this year for Castlevania is going to be the boy toy championship belt.
Nice.
So we're like, it's our first men's match. We're having two men on stage, like very handsome beefcakes come up and do their thing. And, like you could go up and tip them, but you know, it's up to them if they're like, oh, put it in the bucket, or like, I'll take it from
put it
in
my
hand,
butt.
Or put it in my butt or whatever. Like, it's all very like, directional. Like, you don't just come up there and be like, yeah, so slap their ass and get in there. Like, you take the social cues.
Right.
Follow
so,
the
like,
rules.
You can say stuff verbally, but don't, go in there thinking that you're going to get a handful of some titty, like, without consent.
Oh, yeah. And you probably
some
won't
burlesque.
Get a handful of titty.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, for anybody on both sides of it, like,
for sure.
I mean, I know my signs, like, I don't look like I'm asking permission, but I've asked a lot of permission for a lot of those signs, by the way, even the men's side. I mean, I only have signs for men. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to differentiate between the two.
Okay,
but
yeah.
You should always ask permission from a woman.
Yes, for sure.
I have a request for some burlesque bears.
Like
alliteration, and I think that would be a lot
of
fun.
Yes, I can recommend a lot of shows to you that are very very bear friendly. So
nice.
But
I want to see someone come out as a bear and strip down and be a bear as well.
I feel like I've seen it. I think I've seen women stripping out of bear costumes, though. I don't think I've seen a bear man strip out
it's
of bear
like
costume.
A Russian bear doll.
Yeah,
yes. I love that. Oh my god.
Oh my
yes.
god. Oh, this
That's
year
so
also
cool.
Speaking of like more queer culture, and after Tasselmania there's going to be the official Tasselmania after party, but also the first ever Gay Young Classic, which is a lip sync tournament.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, that I'm so excited about. This drag queen collective, the Nobodies, who also host a show called The Nobodies Watch Wrestling, where they basically just watch wrestling and tell you what they think about it. They're amazing. They're so fun. They saw Tasmania 2 and were like, yo, we should team up. So there's going to be a lip sync tournament at Bedlam shortly after Tasmania.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so Drom at 7 to 10, Tasmania, and then Bedlam, 11 o'clock, Gay Young Classic. So, yeah, it's going to be a really fun day.
This is so
and
exciting.
I'm sure we're all going to be wrecked for WrestleMania the next day, but...
Absolutely.
Maybe you should bleep.
So you also do, I can't even speak. You're also a drag king, which I have dabbled in, but I've never really done a full blown become a performer with it. I'm so amazed by the drag king community in general. Tell me more about Buster Balls.
Oh man, Buster Balls. I miss him. I haven't seen him in a while. it's been a bit, but, It's like he's a different person. So it's when I talk about him, I do this weird split personality thing where suddenly I'm like, oh, Buster. Yeah, this third person.
Does he have another voice?
Does he what?
Does he have another voice?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
But he definitely has different mannerisms. I've heard from so many people that when Buster's out, the walk is different. The hand gestures are different. I stand differently. He's a gentleman. He's very much like, oh, let me get your drink and hold your door for you. Like, I don't know. But
nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I love it. It's a different sense of you know, going back to the feeling of like autonomy and control. Like, it's just a completely different thing. Like, I created Buster when, like, very shortly after the lawsuit started, and it was because I felt like I had emotions, namely anger, that I had to express, and I didn't. There's still rules about women, even naked women, and like, I felt like there wasn't going to be an appropriate place for me, Bunny, to be angry on stage. But if I put on a male contour, then I could, you know.
Nice.
Then I could explore aggression and portray like power and anger in that sense. And that like really worked. Like, it was super freeing to like be a different person and to explore emotions that I feel like we're told not to explore. Like, the gender dynamics and like, you know, rules of what we are allowed to do and not do and say and not say, like, for women, for men, for queer women, for queer men. Like, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, get out of my head. But
right.
But in this context, I just leaned into it and was like, if this is the way I can do this, then I'm going to do it. And now I'm like, really, I love doing it. It's so much fun. It's totally different vibe. It feels good.
That's amazing. Hell yeah. I feel like I want to talk for like a whole separate 5 hours about
this. Yeah, I feel like you're definitely someone we need to speak to on the podcast again to pick your brain.
I mean, I'd love to talk to you about gender for like a whole hour.
Absolutely.
Podcast.
Yes.
Like,
well, yes. I love the way that you put that, because I definitely feel very similar when I do any kind of drag, even if it's just in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes Aaron and I'll put Aaron in one of my dresses and, you know, clean makeup. And I'll, you know, cut off the bottom of my dead hair and put on my mustache and my low-laying pants. And because, like, my body's more masculine shaped anyways. So I just immediately move toward feeling so confident. I'm like, God damn, where's my dick to pelvic thrust?
Yes.
It's like, yeah, I have the one in the closet, but I really want one on here.
Right? Isn't that weird? So like, suddenly you have, like legit penis envy. Like, you're like, I want it.
Normally I'm all about my pussy, but in that moment I'm like, fuck yeah, where's my dick, you know?
Same.
And I've apparently become a Southern man too, so I don't know what that's about. Well, I definitely can't wait to meet Buster Balls, and you look so good. So.
Thank you.
Or Buster, I'm sorry. Buster looks so good.
I'll take the compliment for him, thank you.
So I could ask you 3,000 other things, but I guess I should probably wrap it up so that you could get back to your real life. But one thing I want to ask is, where can we see you perform regularly and also produce, you know, give us your information and then plug the shit out of yourself so we know where to find you.
Yes. So let's see. Mostly the thing that I am producing right now is just straight up Tasselmania. You could find information about Tasselmania if you search hashtag Tasselmania or at rhptasselmania.com. That's basically like mine and my partner's like love child gross baby that has turned into this like adult that we're now still taking care of. I don't know, that was a very weird description, but like that's it's definitely a labor of love. And nice. So that's basically where my producing is at right now. Performing, it's kind of sporadic where I'm at. I work with Francine the Lucid Dream from the Pink Room a lot, and I'll be doing the Undercover at Gemini Scorpio Loft, which is a burlesque show as a prelude to a makeout party. So that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of like really fun, again, other sex positive performers who are also producers who are creating more like almost salon style venues or shows. It's really cool. But basically all my performances will be posted on my website, which is www.bunnybuxom.com. That's where you can also find Buster's information and where I'm producing next. And follow me on Instagram at bunnybuxom, and you'll definitely see a whole bunch of pictures of my butt.
And you'll love every second.
Absolutely.
That's a promise.
Yes. I think that's about it. I mean, I have a Twitter also at bunnybuxom, but like, I mostly just retweet other people and like things and get that's WWE fun. Spoiled for me when I haven't watched Raw yet, but then open up my Twitter account. So
Like, I totally understand.
Yeah, like, seriously, I'll do it, and I'll be like, and Schaefer, who I'm watching it with, will be like, why do you do this? Like, why do you spoil it for yourself?
Like, it's an accident.
I didn't mean to, but...
Oh, that's too funny. Well, thank you again so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
You've been wonderful, and I can't wait to talk to you again. I can't wait to see you at TASLMania and all things you.
Oh my God, yes, I'm so excited to hang out with you guys in person, and thank you so much for having me. This was so lovely. I really...
Yeah,
I'm like still so flattered that you guys want to talk to me. Hello, me.
I'm flattered you take an hour of your day to talk to us.
Well, thank you so much, you guys.